I'll start with our lessons learned, which is take small bites before you can dive into something. When you're launching stuff, where I attended a conference a few weeks ago and they said, IT is no longer a commodity, it's part of the organization. And when you're working with people, get as many people involved in the projects as possible, and you get their buy-ins and get them into the test groups as early as possible. And then before you do something, launch it to a small group or have a small group test it if possible, and then work your way through the items with a small group, as opposed to having 100 people knocking on your door saying, it's not working, are you sure, is it this or it's that? So we're trying to pilot as much as we can with power users. So that's really what I learned from this year. That's probably one of the biggest lessons, the biggest changes we've been doing. We were launching stuff to everybody or doing stuff with big groups. And then you get 100 people that aren't happy. And this way you get a little less. That's our plans for next year. We're moving, our federation is moving us to Office 365. So we've got, we have a huge year ahead of us. We're opening up a youth center across the street. So that's a whole different model of service. And we're operating opening up another center. It's called the Children's Center, which is going to be for basically OTs and special services that are going to be doing evaluation so that we can a revenue stream. So that's going to be a whole other stream for us. It's something very new for us. We're going to have a lot of offsite people next year.
You mean you've only had the one site and now you're having new sites? You've had other kinds of offsites.
We've had other offsites, but now we have actually two physical buildings where we had an offsite. We have a community center where we have three people go there occasionally every week where they're not really doing stuff. This is a whole community center, a youth center, where we got a $1 million grant from somebody and we're going up and launching a building, and it's across the street, and it's taking a whole, instead of doing things with a whole pot, with an immigration service, a family service, and it's youth. So it's all the services combined into one building. Wow. With classrooms, with a community, like a hangout room, and staff there, and whether we put them on our phone system or just give them cell phones, because they're going to be texting these kids anyways. So it's a whole rethink of everything that we're doing.
Wow. You know, he glossed over something that he said. I just wanted you all to know this, that OMEDS received a $1 million grant, right, to do this. I mean, that's huge. And your ED, who, you know, Gail and I started together.
Yeah.
We were both executive directors at the same time. We were in the same Saltzman weekend, so I've known her forever.
Yep.
The past 16 years. Anyway, she's retiring, and you're getting a new ED.
Yep. Yeah, so. Very interesting, because it was a long process. It's our chief strategy officer, who I report to directly, and she's the first non-Jewish executive director or CEO of our organization.
Wow, so, that is big.
We're in flux. If this is actually, I was just counting, this is the fourth office that I've done these conferences in the last 6 months. And all of them have been mine. I've moved four offices in 6 months because we're under constant construction here.
Wow. Well, you've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else can top that, but let's hear. And Alex, I know, do you have a video? Can we see you, or you don't have a camera? Are you there?
He's muted.
Did I mute? I didn't mute him, but no. I can unmute him. I unmuted you now.
Oh,
Alex, can you hear us? I don't know if he's here, but he had a question for all of you, and I want to make sure he gets to ask it at this time. So, anyway, who wants to talk? We haven't seen Chris in a while. He doesn't have a camera or a microphone. Well, that's not good. I'm going to have to get you something.
I'm here.
Okay, so Alex, you can text everyone what you wanted us to or write in the chat box the question, and then we can answer it at one point in time. Not to worry. Okay, so yeah, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well. Let me move this over there because it looks like I'm not looking at you. It's just been a little crazy. The CIO retired August 15th, so we don't have a replacement, and it doesn't look like we're going to replace it this time. So I've been very, very busy doing his job and my job.
Is his job on top of your job? Is he your
boss?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's no good.
No.
So what have you learned? We're doing end of the year learnings.
Beg harder for more people. Go into the CEO's office in tears and say, I need more people.
Is everyone having trouble finding good people?
No. I have I find good people, but they leave for more pay.
That's to part two. Can you keep the good people?
Yeah.
That's been a discussion matter for a lot of people.
It has been, and it's been a hard realization for them that, yes, we are a nonprofit. I get it. But the constant turnover is wearing this people that stay down. So it's very hard.
Is it throughout the organization or just in IT?
Well, case management's constant. I mean, they'll, you know, I don't know how case managers stay in their jobs in the first place with what they deal with. But we as IT have not. We, for the longest time, had no turnover. And then our administrative assistant type position that we have, the CIO seems to burn through them very quickly. But I think it's settled down now.
Because there's no CIO.
Yeah. The question also is, what effect does the turnover have on your staff? Are you having to retrain them, or how are you handling the training of the new case managers, Chris?
Well, there's only seven of us right now. Well, there's seven, there's eight of us. So I'm pushing hard to get a manager over the help desk. And I want a manager for the database stuff. And then one for the network stuff, and then I can do my stuff. And it's just, you know, we have the state reporting, and I'm doing state reporting again because my state reporting person left. So I don't know. I need to be able to hire people. And right now she's just on a freeze and she's not doing much of anything. So
are you in Gulf Coast?
Gulf Coast Jewish Family Services.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Question, we have a question from Alex. How's everyone handling the Windows 7 and end of life? Is everyone up to Windows 10 on all systems and all servers?
Yes.
Yep. Except for we have a remote desktop server that's still 2008 R2, and that's on the same timeline as Windows 7, but we're opening everything to the cloud here, so we don't need our remote desktop server. So.
We're doing the same thing. We have a cache server that we're upgrading our avatar. We're getting upgraded from 2008 up to 20, I don't know what. I can't remember. We're just doing that when the next, by January 3rd, it's supposed to be done.
Okay. So Alex, why are you asking us that? Tell us what is going on, I guess, for you. And then we'll try to answer that specifically. Yeah.
And Alex, this is Tim from Colorado, JFS of Colorado. We did this over the past year, came up with a plan, and basically either said of all of our Windows 7 computers, ones that are older than 4 years old we'll replace, and ones that are three or less or something like that, I did upgrades, and I literally manually did about 30 or 40 upgrades to Windows 10 using TechSoup Windows 10 licenses. So that's how we got to full Windows 10, if that helps you.
What we did was we just took the opportunity to upgrade all of our systems. We actually hired an intern from one of the schools who needed 120 or 180 hours, and we just had him roll through all the systems. And at the same time, we took our old i3s and i5s and put SSDs in them and just rolled them out all with SSDs, and everyone is thrilled.
Oh, yeah. They cry, don't they? They're so happy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very easy. I've probably bought five computers all year. That's it, because we just rolled all of our systems to SSDs. It worked really, really well. Go ahead.
Yeah, we moved. I don't know, about 50 computers. We actually have a company here called PC Professor, we have a pretty good relationship with. They have students rolling through there all the time, and they thought it'd be a great project for them. So we set up a deployment server and set up the LTSB version of Windows 10, stripped it down to just what we needed, and rolled out about 50 PCs during the day while people were working in 3 days. Just got it done and ripped the Band-Aid off, and off we went. So
that is beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we had like two that had problems imaging, but the rest of them were great. We had spares ready to go if they ran into issues, and that worked pretty good. The other thing we did is we started about 3 years ago rolling out Raspberry Pis on the desktop, and we have about 25 of them out there. Mm-hmm. They log into our now 2016 remote desktop server, and it just, there's zero admin. There's nothing to them. We keep our RDS server up, and they love them. They seem to be faster than the workstations.
What we've done is we set up a remote desktop server. We have a student room where we have a lot of interns come in, and they can come in for a half a day or 3 days a week. We never know. So they all have hot desks, and they just take in, they log onto our remote desktop server. So we have zero setup for those students. We used to spend days setting up each one of them on a profile, and then we find out they moved to a different office. Now, doesn't matter where they sit, someone's not at a desk, they take a hot desk and they go right in. That's been a fabulous thing for us.
What are you using for desktop hardware?
We're using just the oldest piece of crap I have.
Yeah, okay. We got turned on Raspberry Pis many years ago when I experimented with them in ham radio and all kinds of other electronic controller stuff. And then we found a company called ClearCube that will actually manage the images for us and all the updates and everything. So that I think it's like $10 a year per, and it's just really worth it to just hand that all to them.
What we did was we took all of our oldest computers, since they're just remote desktoping in, and do it. What we did, which was interesting for all of our boardrooms, we took, does anyone know what a NUC is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a tiny little, it's probably this big. It's a tiny little computer that you can mount onto a wall. It's a full Intel system. You build it from, it comes in with a motherboard. You have to have the hard drive and memory. And it costs about $700 Canadian, so roughly $600 US, $550. And we mounted them on the walls in all of our boardrooms. And then we have an account in there which the staff can log into, which has no access to our network. But from our network, we put a shortcut so the staff can drop files on the computer. So when they're doing their presentations, they just drop the files on those folders, and then they do their presentation in the boardroom. So we don't have USB keys running around. It worked out really, really well. So our staff are not setting up any systems, any projectors or any items. We put LEDs on all of our boardrooms with the NUCs, and they've been great.
Yeah, we do something similar with a company called Zetron. They're little i5 boxes.
We do Solstice. They can just use their own laptop and come in, and they connect it. It's a separate network, but it goes right into the projectors, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. Who else got lessons learned? Vince, yeah. What were your lessons learned from this year?
I think many of the same lessons, it's really preparing and budgeting ahead of time, i.e. the Windows 7 issue. We've been converting for about almost 2 years. We actually planned this one. Days of showing my age, but days of Y2K, except Y2K kind of fizzled. And I think we're in much better shape converting off of Windows 7. But have any of you heard about the Microsoft continued service plan? They're kind of keeping it hush-hush, but they're allowing organizations, certain organizations, to continue with Windows 7 support. I just read an article about that, and it perked my interest. We don't really have any more 7s, but for organizations that did, it sounded like an interesting program.
Yeah, what I heard, I read an article similar to that, that I think was mainly for ATMs and IoT devices that had Windows 7 in the firmware and couldn't be upgraded easily without replacing the whole machine. I think that's what that was about.
Yeah, what I read about was actually for organizations, and they were trying to keep it on the hush-hush. If I find it again, I'll see if I can post it or email it. But does anyone have Windows 7 left?
No,
I have two test machines just to see what happens. They're VMs.
Yeah. Alex, do you still have a number of Windows 7 machines? Is that why you were asking?
He has to text it or type it. They're going to be replacing them.
Yeah. So will you have enough time to replace them before end of life?
Well, the world's not going to end that on the 14th.
True. Yeah.
So is that what happens? Like on the 14th, something is completely switching over? Is that what you guys are all talking about?
No, basically the security updates will no longer be pushed out by Microsoft. So there'll be a last batch that'll go out, and that's quote unquote it.
Wow.
So if that, your computer's
may be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know how they like to break things.
That's just on top of everything else that you all have to do, I guess. Just manage all the security. That's not,
yeah.
Is that a big part of what you all do?
How many of you guys are doing fish tests to your staff?
All the time.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. What level, now here's a loaded question. What level is the worst at the, who gets caught the most? Is it the high level?
Yeah, right. We all know the answer to
it
that.
Is. It is. And my mom works here and she got busted. And I said, Mom, I have to walk around here with my head hung low because you did that.
Yeah. We got our first round. We embarrassed a lot of people. And then we just did one last week, and it was much better. The ones that got embarrassed came up to me, go, I caught it. And then a couple of them were walking down the hallways with their head down whenever they saw me. Yeah, we did Amazon deliveries, which was, we used a company called KnowBefore, and they were clicking like crazy.
Is everybody using KnowBefore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get there. We did a phishing test, and I hate to say it, my EMR administrator not only clicked on it, but called me to find out why she couldn't get into this information she really needed to get into.
Oh, no.
Yep, time for some retraining.
Oh, my God. Well, we're putting in for a grant right now for a couple $100,000 to buy the training for the first year so that we only have to do the maintenance on it and get the phishing.
The phishing is the best. I think it really needs to, the two things are great. One, adding the phishing button to your Outlook. We have that, you press it, it's easily going out. The problem that we found is that a lot of the times the guilty party said that they were on their phone and they couldn't really check it. So they opened up the stuff. So what we did was we created an email address called fish@our address, and that did the same thing as the fish button. So they forward the email, and that way it went to my group, and my group was able to see if it was real or not and then take the necessary action.
Although technically, if they're using Outlook Mobile, it should have the phishing button. It's hard to find, but it is there. So
where is it?
We don't use Outlook Mobile for the most part. We're using just the Outlook. All of our staff are iPhones, so they just write into their iPhone in the mail and they don't see it.
Got it.
The same thing.
What are, for those that migrated to Office 365 Cloud, what should we look to? What should we avoid? What should we, as my boss likes to say, what are the sharp objects?
Anyone using it?
Well, you know, we've been on Office 365 for 4 years. and our kind of my biggest plan for next year is like we've been moving things over and we just keep trying to move more things over and over. And our next big thing is basically migrating our file shares over to SharePoint. And hopefully that will happen in the next few months. I know Paul from is he Pennsylvania? I can't remember what.
I think so.
I know they did that, so unfortunately he's not here to speak to that, but we're looking forward to that. And if I hadn't had to deal with our EMR implementation, which I'm still dealing with. We would have been done by this now, but I'm pretty excited about it. Getting everything into OneDrive for Business, SharePoint, using Teams. We've had a few different programs and departments who have started to use Teams, and they really, really like it, particularly the chat feature and being able to share files with one another. So yeah, I think we're all in for Office 365, and we're about 85% of the way.
What are some of the best apps? Are any of the apps that you're using? You're just using Teams mostly right now.
You mean apps beyond the standard ones, or
yeah, some of the ones that are offered within the
program. Well, using Teams, we have one. Our development team and communications team using Planner, which is kind of a mini project management. It's like Trello. It uses the Kanban cards, or I don't know how to say that right, but they've actually had some pretty good luck with planning out their different campaigns and kind of coordinating some stuff together. I'm using Microsoft To Do, and I really like it. And now they're integrating To Do, Planner, and Teams all together, so you can have a view of all of your tasks in one place. I'm just always amazed at how much they keep adding every single month. There's just new features every month. It's hard to keep up, but yeah, some pretty good stuff that seem to be happening. I think our biggest challenge has to do with, call it governance, figuring out how do we keep control over sprawling Microsoft Teams and channels and where people are storing files and who has access to what. That's why we haven't moved sooner, because I just feel like we really need a better handle on that before we move everything over. So,
on your cloud strategy, are you going to allow people to log in from personal computers at home, et cetera, and into your network?
Well, they will no longer need to log into our network because everything's in the cloud, right?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, people can do that now. They can do it with our EMR. It is a security concern I have, that people can basically go to any single computer and just log into our EMR or any of our applications because they're all cloud-based. So I don't know that Office 365 is any different. In fact, it's probably less sensitive than our EMR, and I don't think we're going to lock it down via IP addresses or anything like that, unfortunately. So I'm just really looking at strong multi-factor authentication, password requirements, and then, of course, the security training through KnowBe4 are the things we're kind of relying on.
I realize you guys will get a kick out of this. We have a policy that all USBs have to be encrypted. So I walked into a boardroom yesterday, and I'm not sure if you can see that. That's the password.
Oh, no.
That's great. That's classic.
I'm sitting here waiting to see. I've asked the usual suspects, and I'm waiting to see who sends out an email saying I lost the USB.
Yeah, but it's okay. It was encrypted.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't allow them, period.
You don't allow what, USBs?
Nope. We have them. We disabled the USBs so they can't use them.
Why?
Because client data.
Because
I'm sorry, they don't even. I mean, we have the easiest thing for them to encrypt email: **, encrypt **, and they can't even remember to do that. And they're sending stuff to the state attorney's office and whatever, and it's just like, oh my god! But you know, I've seen the funders aren't any better.
No. We have a system that automatically sniffs our email and encrypts it when it needs to. And it really annoys our users. And I just smile at them anytime it gets them. And I go, well, if you click that encrypt button, you would have known.
Yeah. So. Yeah, ours does that too. It catches a lot of it, but the Barracuda does, but.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question about Teams for Tim.
Okay.
I'm looking at moving to Teams, but we're all in-house. We're all on-prem right now. We're gonna slowly, our five-year plan is to move to Office 365. Yeah. But I was reading some articles about doing Teams with on-prem, and I thought that was kind of an interesting idea. You heard anything about that?
I did not even know such a thing existed. You necessarily would. Yeah, I've never heard of Microsoft offering it as an on-prem server software. I only know it as cloud. So
yeah, it's cloud. You have to tie to Office 365. You have to turn on AD, Azure AD to do it. You run Teams in the cloud, but it connects to your on-prem resources.
Oh, you mean for file storage?
Well, file storage, we have a Skype for Business server on site. It can link to that. It just ties all the features of Teams in. They're supposed to be give you an easier way to migrate to get people used to it ahead of time.
I guess I have seen some of that, but yeah, we've just been all cloud anyway, pretty much, except for files. So we haven't had to, haven't dealt with that at all.
Yeah, we're fighting cloud because we get some pretty big grants to pay for hardware, TechSoup to pay for software. You know, it just is not a big push to go there, but we know we're going to end up there. So,
yeah, I had just a few things on the lessons learned from last year, kind of from a bigger picture for me anyway. One of the things that, you know, we've had some change over in our leadership, and I've really felt the change of the culture in our organization. It's come out in a few different interesting ways. One way is, you know, we were talking about replacing computers going to Windows 10, and I was working with our previous COO, and the assumption at the time was, hey, someone's got a desktop, you replace it with a desktop. You don't get them a laptop, they're more expensive, they don't need a laptop. Well, we now have a new CEO who believes everybody should have laptops so that they can bring them to meetings and they should be bringing them home. And it resulted in me just having to buy a dozen laptops to replace brand new desktops that, and then once word gets around, all of a sudden people want desktops. So it was a whole cultural shift that was an assumption previously that changed over, and I wasn't actually keeping up with it. So that was kind of a interesting thing. Also, another thing, our new CEO also really wants to incorporate our remote sites, or like when we have an all staff meeting, she wants to be able to have people remotely join it. We have a boardroom where we do our staff meetings. And a couple of years ago, before I was here, they put in AV equipment, and you know, it's relatively basic, nothing terribly fancy. Well, now we have to look at replacing it all because it doesn't accommodate a large group of people like that. We have a different CEO who is, I think, more supportive and willing to spend money on technology. And that's really changed the culture here. So that's one of the things.
Well, what does that mean for you? Like, you're telling us that, but what does that really mean?
Well, so it changes my long, as some of you know, I mean, I've only been on staff here for a year and a half, but I've worked with JFS of Colorado previously, going back to 2002 as a consultant. And I had certain assumptions, Lisa, and those assumptions have now changed. So, I mean, again, just really concretely, now when I'm doing our PC replacement plan for next year, the default is now laptops.
Uh-huh.
Unless someone says, hey, you know what, I'm never taking it home, I work at my desk or whatever. And the budgeting implications that go along with that. So we have to change our capital planning because laptops cost twice as much as desktops and they last half as long. So
did you have any, were you able to have any input into this conversation? Because it sounds like you know, think that desktops are better than the laptops.
No, I don't think they're better.
Okay,
it depends on how we want to use them. So I had some input, but I had the information and say, yeah, again, you know, laptops cost twice as much, last half as long. The only issue that I have where I'm not sure I'm being listened to is where we have some executive staff members who our CEO has said they should have laptops, and the laptops sit on their desks as a desktop.
Right.
Get taken off of there because these are older people who just, that's not how they work. Okay.
We were always having a concern about people on laptops and personal information. So we encrypt the drives when they take them off site. Those kind of nice things. But what we've done is we have every single user has a desktop, period. If they need to work from home, I will provide them with a laptop that they'll remote desktop back to their office so they have all the equipment and all the stuff that they need.
Yep.
We probably have 10% of our staff have dual monitors. So that.
Oh, I think my door's open. I'm on a conference call. I'm tied to my computer.
So
there you go. Rob muted himself.
I muted him.
Okay. I meant to do that.
Okay.
So we tend to do that more so. We do have an overhead cost because we have to provide a laptop. Users have two computers. But I've been always a strong opinion that I want to keep as much of the data local, that they can only get to it here, and that the opinion. We do allow certain individuals to use their own equipment at home. But last thing I want is someone with an 8-year-old or a 14-year-old kid playing on their laptop and the parent leaving the computer remoted into our system and then emailing out something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always been a concern of mine. So that's why we have the policy, our equipment, our information, and they remote desktop back in there. So I'm just curious what other people are doing.
Well, for us, we're starting to migrate to people getting laptops. And located in Florida, one of the real nice benefits is for disaster preparedness.
Yep.
Because if everyone takes care of their laptops, then the concern, and we're, again, moving more and more towards the cloud, so that also our case managers are on client sites a lot. They take the laptop and actually enter their EHR notes on the fly. Interestingly enough, we're starting to run into connectivity issues with, you know, many, if not actually most of our clients are elderly, 85 and older, and Holocaust clients, and they don't really have good connectivity, whether it's they don't even have Wi-Fi, or they live in developments, senior developments, that the cell phone service is not great. So we can't even use either a cell phone or a dedicated device to get connectivity. So that's what we're starting to run into. People are, initially they were, oh, we've got to lug this laptop, and oh, we can't enter notes while we're looking the client in the face. But now they're actually getting to the point where they enjoy having it, because we also allow them to take the laptops home and they enter their notes from home, which is not so much of an issue because most people have connectivity. So I guess my question is, do other people, their case managers with laptops, are they having connectivity issues as well? And does anyone come up with a solution for that?
Yeah, Vince, actually, it's interesting. The other part of our culture shift is exactly that, which is all of our applications are now in the cloud, including our EMR. And so there's been this big need now for all of our case managers and school-based therapists to be able to do their notes and do their stuff in real time. Our solution, and it sounds like it wouldn't necessarily work, but we've had to, a lot of them have smartphones that they can use as a mobile hotspot, or we've gotten mobile hotspots, but you're right, that depends on cell phone coverage there.
Are you providing the cell phone plan? Because because you know, a lot of times those cell phone plans are limiting your throughput and your amount of bandwidth that you have to hotspots. They're actually throttling hotspots.
Who are you using for your phones?
Right now it's Sprint, but we were on AT&T, and we also tried T-Mobile.
See, we have Verizon, and we have a contract through the state that we did ours. And the difference between having 2 gigabytes of shared plan and unlimited was $1. So we paid the extra dollar to give them unlimited on Verizon.
And it was really unlimited? No throttle?
Oh, yeah, absolutely unlimited. I mean, we've got some people, they abuse the privilege, and we nail them on it, because I'm sorry, nobody uses 500 gigabytes to work, not for a client.
Yeah, in the state of Florida, if you can get on the Florida state contract with Verizon, that is the only way to go for cell phone.
Absolutely. It's and their hotspots are $42 or $43 or something like that.
Yeah, it's they're like $39 bucks a month unlimited.
Talk to, it's WSCA, W-S-K, or C-A. Talk to your representative or a representative for Verizon, because, I mean, it's just, it's so great to have it.
Okay, thank you.
Number one network.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, yeah, it always has been, and it's just always been the most expensive network, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vince, do you, this is related, I'll get to how it's related. Do you have any vans you run around for transportation?
Yes.
And I guess the bigger question is, are they state funded, state grant funded?
Partly, yes.
Okay, if you have any vans, you're automatically eligible for the state contract with Verizon. You just have to let them know that because you're already a state really? Contract. Yeah. We get phones at a nickel a minute, no monthly charge, and we get unlimited data at $39 a piece, and all the equipment is free.
Wow. Are you guys using iPhones?
No, we're using, actually, all of our phones are flip phones, and we use Android-based smartphones when we need them. But yeah, you'll save a lot of money there. Jonathan, what you were saying about remote desktop, and Tim, what you were saying, I love having your names here. It's great. What you were saying about distributing laptops, our long-term care division is doing exactly that. They wanted laptops in the field to go. And to be honest, we've had a couple stolen. We've had problems with them in the past. We had them locked down, so we didn't worry too much about them. Finally, we did the same thing we did with our Pis. We went to Chromebooks, and we set up multi-factor authentication on a remote desktop server. We buy renewed Chromebooks at $100 a piece with touchscreens. And if they lose them, it's okay. There's absolutely nothing on them. They're two-factor. If somebody happens to break into one, they're all registered with Chrome for Enterprise, so we can wipe them and track them.
Chromebooks are smart. That's a good idea, it sounds like.
And they weigh like 3 pounds. They're super, super light. They get 12-hour batteries in them. They solve the problem. I put all the processing here, and I'm big about keeping my data right here.
What EHR are you using?
We're using Welligent. Okay. But we make people log into our remote desktop system and then go out to our EHR. So we maintain the security that way.
Vince, which one are you using?
We're using Energy from Greenway. And we were using remote desktop, but now everyone has VPN access. So they actually are logging right into as if they were on the network. No, they are on the network.
What do you guys think of what we do at the network, which is using Dropbox? Does anyone do that?
Yes.
That's what we do.
As long as it's a paid version, it's HIPAA, and you have a BAA with them.
I think that it is, of course.
Yeah you have to have the paid version of it. And you,
what,
you have
is that not BAA. Secure, like whatever you guys are talking about? Not as secure, or?
No, it's secure.
Uh-huh. Well, Jonathan went, no way.
I use OneDrive when I need to, and I just want to keep everything local. We have a policy that has to be associated with their local account, with their network account here, but I know people are cheating. Let's be honest, yep. People are cheating. You know they are cheating.
It's only secure as the people who use it.
Yeah. And we mainly use it for, like, we have a yeah, art gallery program that takes pictures of kids, so when they go up for adoption. And that's, the pictures are just they have professional photos taken, and they're just dropped into the Dropbox. That's all we use that for.
Interesting.
We have just on a security thing just popped into my head. We have a camera system in our network where our counseling center has the ability to record sessions. So we actually have a private network that just goes right on those four computers. From those four stations down to a DVR sitting in my IT room, and that's not connected to the network, and then we export out the videos to the desktop of the user where they need to review the videos.
We have that in our senior center. Wow. It's a private land for all the video cameras, because we had some issues with seniors falling and getting hurt, and accidents in the actually in the parking lot. And so it turned out that having video surveillance of every room, of course, not the restroom, but every public
room. Yep.
Yeah. It's helped a lot.
Yeah. And in Florida, I don't think that we're allowed to record the sessions.
They signed off on it.
So Alex is telling us that she, is this a male or a female? I'm not sure, but they also use Welligent. And I don't know if anyone saw, they're replacing their with Windows 10. That's what they're doing. Anyway.
Ours is a lot of times. We have students coming in our counseling center. So the students are working and they're getting a reduced rate and they know they're working with a student and they sign off that the session can be recorded. And then the session is reviewed with the supervisor and then it's destroyed on the desktop. So it's not, we try and lock it down as much as we can. But really security, your weakest link is the password, two-factor authentication. I've heard recently the newest scam is SIM swapping, where people are actually calling up like your provider and saying, hey, Verizon, hey, AT&T, I lost my SIM, send me a new SIM, blah, blah, blah. And they assign it, and then that person hacks the person's all the accounts. That has happened, I know, to two people in the last month in Montreal. So just a heads up. So we think that everything's associated back to our cell phones, but if someone gets a hold of our cell phone, or we'll say hijacks our cell phone with a SIM swap or account swap, you're done.
So that's a lesson learned.
But with Microsoft two-factor and push, that's a little hard to do. They have to have the app. They have to have the app registered with our server.
Yeah.
So if they just swap my phone, it's okay. That's why we don't use text messaging for two-factor. We actually use the push notification.
Yep.
Security is fun stuff, Lisa.
You need to put a password on your cellular.
Oh yeah.
Accounts. We did that because we had somebody that was hacking into our account and they would buy like 15 iPhones and have them shipped to our office and then call the next day and say, hey, I'm sorry. I meant you to want you to send them to Illinois.
Nice.
Oh, wow. That's a good.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that takes some guts to say.
Oh, it does. So now we have to have a password to even place orders.
Yep.
So.
Any other lessons learned or plans for this year? What's the number one project that everyone wants to do this year?
Reduce users.
Does that kill users? Did I hear that right?
No, just reduce. Reduce.
Tim, what's on your plate for this year?
I think my biggest one is getting everybody into SharePoint and Teams, really. And then beyond that, really, it's just continuing to improve our use of our new EMR. It's kind of a continual improvement project. We have kind of a task force of people who are going to be getting together every month to review what we're doing. And really, I think those are going to be the two big things that we're going to be in the coming year.
Super. Chris, yours is to survive and hire CIO?
No, to become CIO.
There you go.
Or at least VP of IT, because I don't think they'll have a CIO position anymore. We never had one before, and then Lawrence came in, and it was part of his agreement that he needed the title, and I don't need a title. I just need the money.
Terrific. Keep us posted.
You can call me janitor for all I care.
Cool.
So, Alex, you can write us what your project is for next year. Maybe you already told us replacing all of your computers with Windows 10.
Rob or Vince, anything to add?
Well, we're actually from the, not necessarily IT, but it relates to IT. We're looking at alternative ways to provide counseling and support, whether it's looking at video counseling, we're putting more and more people into organizations, like we're putting them into schools, into synagogues and various places. So we're becoming, whether we like it or not, much more spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and because we are in Florida and there is, you know, disaster implications, become more cloud-centric so that we're not dependent on any one location or server room, so to speak.
It was very funny. I attended a conference, and one of the largest chains of they make chicken. Their largest chicken, it's a local chicken chain called Saint-Hubert, and the CIO was at the conference. He said, my job is to make chicken. My job is to help them to make chicken. So anytime everything he has is in the cloud, he finds the best providers for the best items. And then he says, when I have something, my focus always has to be is to make chicken. Mm-hmm. Make chicken. So the idea here is find the best people to do what we need to do, what we can. If you have to, develop it. But ideally, in today's, I think software as a service is going to become huge for all of us.
Yeah, I agree. And Rob, did you have any project? Did you tell us? I don't think you did tell us yet.
Well, it's kind of IT, kind of facilities, kind of transportation. A big project coming up next year is automatic logging in our vehicles, telematics in the vehicles. We have some of that now, some of the tracking, but this is going to be 100% digital Android tablet in the vehicle. They pull out, do their safety inspections. They fob in as a driver, fob out as a driver, does all of our logging for us. But we got the DOT, the state DOT, to pay for 5 years of service on the system plus the system. And I got 13 vehicles that we're going to have to install it in and try to teach people how to use. But it's going to reduce paper. It's going to reduce errors.
Wow.
Handle driver logs. It's
keep us posted. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it'll be neat. It's definitely mobile data. That's for sure.
That's for sure. And Alex said to us, he's new to the position, so learning is his goal. But I like what he said, attending more IT affinity group meetings.
Hey, you should be putting get a camera and a microphone in there, too.
Good. Right, so we don't have any more money in our fund. You know, all of you, I think we gave you these. We gave $10,000 worth of cameras away. They're around $25. Tell your CEO that you want to invest in one because you need it for the affinity groups, and you can learn so much as a result of it.
Yeah, Lisa, I had no idea that the network was providing those because I have a camera on my laptop. And I've been going around and seeing these cameras on a couple of our other staff members. And they're getting laptops. I'm like, where did you get this? And I have three of them. They all got them from you guys. So
$10,000. Yeah. I just talked with the funder to see if we can get some more, but I'm not sure. Yeah. But, you know, it's great. You know, I think it's really nice having these cameras and bringing everyone together like this.
Yeah.
So, great. I guess that's it, right? Do we have anything else?
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Yeah. Happy New Year. That's right. And our next call is, I'm not sure, Craig was talking about meeting in small groups and teams. I'm not sure. Jonathan, you and Craig and I have to have a meeting at one point, maybe in the beginning of the year, to figure out next steps. And I sent that end of the year evaluation. Did you everyone see that survey?
Yeah.
Around a week ago. So I'm going to send it again on Monday. But, you know, just write something just so we have some information. And we also asked if anyone thinks they might want to be a chair, not next year, but the year after, because Jonathan and Craig gave us 2 years.
One of our ideas for next year is to make small breakout groups, pick a couple subjects, have some small breakout groups, and then the major group get together like maybe every quarter type of thing.
Sounds good. And I may not be a part of it the way that I have been because I'm bringing on around 6 new affinity groups. So some affinity groups that have been ongoing for a year, you guys can probably do it without me, even though I find it so interesting. So we'll talk about that. I figure this is probably one group that you don't need me. Anyway, thank you all.
I think Lisa should find a way to sponsor a tech conference for us all to come to.
Okay, I'll be thinking about how to do that. Okay, thank you guys. All right. Happy holidays.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.